John. Book of 1 John will be in chapter 1. 1 John, of course, very vividly illustrates the Christian life, which, of course, has to do with Christ. You cannot live the Christian life outside of Jesus Christ. The theme of the book is just that, living life in Christ. And as we've said in the past, when we use the word Christian, not speaking of the modern brand of that name, which is simply an association with mainstream religion and the formalities of that religion. The truth is that brand of Christian has very little to do with Jesus Christ, and in many cases is actually opposed to Jesus Christ and his teaching. There are people who call themselves Christian who do not even believe the Word of God and who mock the Word of God. They allow plenty of room in their lives for self, for human reasoning, for philosophy, for the world and its ways. Yet they have no room for Christ. And yet they call themselves or refer to themselves as Christians. So the modern day version of a Christian is quite different than the biblical version. A Christian, of course, is a follower of Jesus Christ, and that involves a lot of things. But a Christian, first of all, must be someone who is saved, and that salvation has shaped their lives, and they outwardly manifest that salvation in their lives. And they become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So to be a Christian means that you live for Christ. You live your life set apart for Him. You live your life serving Him. It means that you live with Christ being the priority of your life. He's the emphasis of your life. He's what dominates your life. To be a Christian means, of course, that Christ is a very relevant force in one's life. You cannot be Christian if Christ is not an influence in the life. Again, don't confuse the two, being saved and being Christian. So a Christian is someone who has an attraction for Christ. It's someone who has a great appreciation for Christ. It's really someone who's obsessed with Jesus Christ. So being a Christian is not merely a doctrinal statement. It's not merely a creed, but it's a way of life. It's the way that someone lives their life. Now John, throughout the book of 1 John, reveals that truth, righteousness, and love. He speaks much of love to one another and love for the Lord. But these three, truth, he says much about truth, he says much about righteousness, and much about love. And those three things, truth, righteousness, and love, are manifest elements of the Christian life. So really, the book of 1 John is actually a call to authentic, genuine Christianity. He states his reasons for writing three times. In verse 4, he says, And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So he's writing that these individuals could have fullness of joy. Chapter 2 and verse 1, he says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. He's writing so that they would have victory over sin. And then in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. So he's writing to those who have made a profession. I'm writing unto you that believe. But then notice what he says. That, here's why I'm writing. That ye may know that ye have eternal life. So he's writing that they have assurance. And that ye may believe. That is, further believe. Because he already stated that he's writing to those who believe on the name of Christ. That ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So he writes that the joy would be full. He writes that they would have, so that they could have victory over sin. He writes that they would have assurance and an advancement in faith. And it is living life in Christ that you find truth, righteousness, and love. And the Christian life is marked by those three things: truth, righteousness, and love. Those three things are very manifest in the Christian life. So if we turn to 1 John chapter 1, we'll read the entire chapter, 10 verses. That which was from the beginning, which we, talking about the apostles, have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, speaking of Christ. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. So now he's going to deliver the actual message. This then is the message. He goes on to say that God is light. This is the message. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So again, what we have, John is issuing a call to authentic Christianity. And he addresses a key element of that in these verses, which is fellowship with God. We have preached upon that subject several times. We have mentioned it countless times, fellowship with God, a relationship with the Lord. And we do that because if we are in fellowship with the Lord, that brings glory to God. But it also brings joy to our own lives, makes our lives more pleasant, more useful, helps our home life, helps church life. There's just untold blessings and benefits with fellowship with God. So we want to look at this fellowship with the Lord. First of all, consider the basis of this fellowship. Whatever fellowship you're talking about, whether it be with God or whether it be between two individuals, there has to be a basis for the fellowship. So consider the basis of this fellowship. First of all, there are two parties involved in this fellowship. Notice verse 3, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So in this fellowship, there is God and there is us. And just as it is with fellowship between two people, in order for there to be real fellowship, there are certain things that must be true on both sides. Certain things that must be true on both sides if you're going to have fellowship, whether talking individuals or whether we're talking about fellowship with God. So in order to understand, in order to appreciate this fellowship, and in order to grasp the elements of this fellowship, and in order to grasp the responsibilities on our part and the significance and the blessedness of this fellowship, we must know something about the character of the two parties that are taking part in this fellowship. We see in verse 1 that Christ is referred to as the Word of Life. As the Word, He is the manifestation of God. He is the revelation of God. That's what a Word does. It manifests, it reveals. And He is the Word of Life. That is, He is the source of life. He is the source of natural life. He is the source of spiritual life. In verse 5, it is declared, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So He's spoken of in terms of light as opposed to darkness. So you read it as God is light as opposed to darkness, as opposed to the darkness of sin. In other words, God is pure. God is holy. We must understand that about Him if we're going to have fellowship with God. He is pure. He is holy. He is sinless. He is faultless. He's undefiled. He is absolutely free from all sin. And being holy, He hates sin. He hates all sin. He hates sin universally. He hates sin perpetually. He hates sin intensely. Again, in verse 5, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So read it as God is light as opposed to the darkness of sin, also as opposed to the darkness of ignorance. Entering into fellowship with God, we must realize He is holy. Entering into fellowship with God, we realize He is all-knowing. He sees things clearly. Now, considering the other party in this fellowship, which is us, we have a sin problem. God is holy, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The other part of this, the other individual in this fellowship, has a sin problem. In verse 6, we read that it is possible, or we are capable, we have the ability of walking in darkness. And we have the ability of lying. That is brought out there in verse 6. In verse 7, we read the words, well, notice verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Two words there, us and sin. Just the opposite of God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So we have to understand, in this fellowship, you and I have a sin problem. Not only do we have a sin problem, but we are capable of denying that problem. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we have a problem, we have a sin problem, and you and I are very capable, and not only capable, but we are prone to deny our problem. And we do that in a lot of ways. It's not just a flat-out denial that I've never sinned. There's more to it than that. And we see we have a problem with verse 8, we can deceive ourselves. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we are capable of denying sin. We are capable of deceiving ourselves. And we are capable of the truth not being in us. We see also in verse 8, and the truth is not in us. In verse 9, we read twice our sins. Again, we have a sin problem. In verse 10, we again see that we are capable of denying sin. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So again, we're capable of denying sin, and we're also capable of not having His word in us. He's talking to God's people. He's not talking to the unsaved. He's talking to the people of God. So considering the two parties involved in this fellowship, God and us, this is a truly amazing fellowship. That there can even be fellowship. That fellowship can even be suggested is an amazing, miraculous thing. So, considering the two parties in this fellowship, it's truly amazing that it's even possible. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom we are called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. The reason we have fellowship with God is faithful. Notice who it is that initiates the fellowship. God is faithful, by whom we are called unto fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Holy God initiates fellowship with you and I, sinful man. That's an amazing thing. He is the initiator of this fellowship. Again, we said if two individuals are going to have fellowship, there are things that have to happen on both sides. That's true here as well, with God and us. If we're going to have fellowship with God, God has to be gracious to us. God has to be merciful to us. God has to be willing to cleanse us from sins. And if we're going to have fellowship with God, we must submit to His requirements in order to have that fellowship. God has initiated the fellowship, and God has provided the means to make it possible. Again, we have a sin problem. God is holy. So there's a great gulf. But God has ordained the means where we can have fellowship. Notice verse 7, the last part of verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And we read in verse 9 that He is willing to forgive. That must be so where there could be no fellowship with God. So that's the basis. We have two parties. Another part of the basis of this fellowship is he is the central figure in this fellowship. He is the central figure. In verses 1 through 3, John begins the letter with the centrality of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where he begins. Down in verse 5, again, up till that, it's basically introduction. But in verse 5, he says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and we declare unto you." That. And where does he begin the message? God. God. Verse 5 again. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God." That's where the message begins. He's about to speak upon fellowship. And the starting point of a life of fellowship with God is God. Life, no matter what kind of life you're talking about, must have a starting point. And the Bible opens with Genesis 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, God." It's no accident that the Bible opens that way. Begins with God. The first and central thing is God. If we are going to have fellowship with God, we have to understand this. That He is first. That He is the central part of this fellowship. So our text begins with God, and by so doing, what he's saying is, contemplate God. Think, meditate upon God. Fellowship, contrary to common belief, does not begin with our needs. Fellowship with God begins with God. Fellowship with God does not begin with our happiness. Fellowship begins with Him. This is the basis of fellowship. He is the central party. He's the subject. That is, He's the main point of the fellowship. Never is the main point our needs. Never is the main point our happiness. The main point is God. He's the central figure of this fellowship. He's the goal of the fellowship. He's the purpose of the fellowship. Thirdly, considering the basis of this fellowship, we must live, if we're going to have fellowship with God, we have to live where He lives. Notice verse 6 and verse 7. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness," remember, in Him is no darkness at all. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." That's not saying the same. That's not a repetition. He's saying, if you say you have fellowship and you walk in darkness, you're lying. But not only are you lying, you do not the truth. You're not living the truth. In other words, you tell a lie and you live a lie. Verse 7, "But," there's a contrast, "if we walk in the light," and then notice what it says, "as He is in the light, we have fellowship." If we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So, in these two verses, you have the realm of darkness, verse 6, and you have the realm of light, verse 7. Now notice in verse 6, we can walk in darkness. And in verse 7, we can walk in light. Man walks or man lives in one or the other. Right now, everyone here is either walking in darkness or walking in light. Again, he's addressing the saved. It is possible for a saved individual to walk in darkness. And when they do, even though they say they have fellowship with God, they don't. The basis of this fellowship is you have to be where God is. The darkness, verse 6, all through the Bible, signifies sin, ignorance, unbelief. It is a life that is separate and apart from God. You cannot live life separate and apart from God and claim to have fellowship with God. John says, if you do that, you lie. And you live a lie. You may deceive yourself. A person may actually think that they're having fellowship with God, but they deceive themselves. Notice that in verse 7, it opens with that word, but. So there's a contrast to walking in the darkness. And that is walking in the light as He is in the light. So the light is the realm of God. And if we walk in the light, what does it say? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That is, we have fellowship with God. So a basis of this fellowship is that we must live in the same realm as He does. Light. Also concerning this basis, God must be real to us. He must be relevant in our lives. This is clearly seen in verse 1, where John is speaking of Christ. He says that they had heard Him, they had seen Him, they had looked upon Him, and they had handled or touched Him. And notice there in verse 1, this is all personal experience. It says, we have heard. It says, we have seen with our eyes. Someone didn't see this for us and report back to us. We have seen with our eyes. This is personal. Looked upon. We have looked upon Him. And then it says, our hands have handled. Our hands, our actual hands, have touched Him. No doubt he's speaking of the apostles and their relationship with Jesus Christ. So there was a personal association with Christ. They had personal contact with Christ. They were very, very familiar with Christ through this personal experience. In other words, Christ was not merely a doctrine. Christ was not merely a point of theology with them. Doctrine and theology is important, but doctrine and theology will not replace a relationship with God. Just like doctrine and theology will not save your soul. Jesus Christ. So this is something more than believing Jesus Christ. This is something more than believing the truths concerning God. There was a relationship with Him. This is of the utmost importance. There was a relationship with Him. You know, rules without a relationship equals rebellion. It's going to lead to rebellion. That's not saying anything against rules. Rules are necessary. God laid down rules. But you notice when God laid down laws in the Old Testament, He often referred to Himself as their Redeemer. There's a relationship. Just rules by themselves without relationship will more than likely lead to rebellion. Parents need to remember that raising children. I was strict with my children. I laid down rules. Was there a relationship? Because I'm here to tell you, rules without relationship is a disaster. It's a disaster. And here, this is what John is talking about. He's talking about a life of a relationship with God. So we need to realize this. This is the basis of fellowship. God is real to us. God is relevant in our lives. Secondly, we want to look at the nature of this fellowship. What John describes in verse 1 is the personal experience and contact that the apostles had enjoyed with Christ. And then he, after doing that, he states his desire for his readers that ye also may have fellowship with us. And then he makes a very affirmative statement, and truly, or most certainly, our fellowship is present tense, ongoing. Our fellowship is with. There's a connection. With is a preposition. It's a connecting word. With the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're going to live the Christian life, there has to be a connection to Jesus Christ. So what John spoke of in verse 1, he later terms fellowship. Now we learn something about the nature of this fellowship. In verse 1, you see that it's progressive, or it's developing nature. Again, he goes from hearing to seeing to looking. And there is a difference between seeing and looking. And from hearing to seeing to looking to touching. There is a progression. So this fellowship, the nature of fellowship with God, is progressive. It is developing in nature. Our fellowship, he says, is with God. Fellowship is a position. It's a position that we are in with God. It is a condition. In our text verses, again, it is a position with God. Again, that there is such a thing as fellowship with God is a miraculous wonder. And He initiates it. He initiates it. Fellowship means that we share. If our fellowship is with God, that means there is a sharing between us and God. Fellowship means that we are a partaker. So fellowship with God is a sharing and a partaking in the life of God. Fellowship involves nearness to God. Nearness to God. Fellowship with God is communion with the Lord. And again, this is developing. Fellowship with God is friendship with the Lord. It's identification with Him. In order to have fellowship, there has to be grounds of agreement. You can't have fellowship with somebody that you disagree with about everything. It's not going to happen. Fellowship means agreement. In this case, again, God's the starting point. It is agreement with Him. It is agreement with Him. Fellowship includes a delight in Him. Fellowship with God is receiving from God. We receive from God. We receive His grace. We willingly receive His direction. When you refuse the direction of God, fellowship is broken. In this fellowship, we receive His direction. We receive His guidance. We receive His counsel. We receive His consoling. We receive His strength, His rebuke, His correction. But fellowship is also a giving unto God. It is a giving unto Him glory and praise and thanks and worship and giving of ourselves. Fellowship is walking with God. This fellowship with God is described in 1 John 2 and verse 6 by the words, abideth in Him. That's just another word of fellowship. Abideth in Him. That speaks again of a connection to Christ. It speaks of a closeness to Christ. It speaks of a harmony with Christ. This abiding life, Jesus spoke of it in John 15 verses 1 through 6. And if you look at what Jesus said in John 15, verses 1 through 6, it is a life that draws from the fullness of the Lord. That's fellowship. We draw from His fullness. But it is also from John 15, it is a life regulated by His Word. And it is a life cleaving to Him. If those things are not happening, then we're not in fellowship with the Lord. And again, life consists of a variety of events. And through all the events of life, you and I can have fellowship with God. That is amazing. Life consists of change upon change. There's changes in our families. There's changes in our health, in our careers, in our relationships, and in our overall circumstances. But throughout all the change, we can have fellowship with the Lord. So we see the nature of fellowship with God. We see what it is. We've seen the basis of fellowship. There are things that are absolutely necessary if we're going to have fellowship. We've seen the nature of that fellowship. Consider some of the dangers to this fellowship. There are some things that threaten our fellowship with God. There are certain things that will always prevent fellowship with God. There are certain things that will always be a hindrance and that will be detrimental to fellowship with God. There are certain things which stand between us and this fellowship with God. There are certain things which interfere with this fellowship. There are certain things that will rob us of our fellowship with God. These things are sin and unrighteousness. Sin will rob us of fellowship with God. This is what God is talking about in Isaiah 59. Verses 1 and verse 2. It was their iniquities that had separated them and God. Sin is a hindrance to fellowship with God. This is what Jesus is talking about when He's speaking to Peter and when He washed the feet of the apostles and Peter refused for Jesus to wash his feet. And He said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with Me. He's talking about a cleansing. It's necessary if you're going to have a part, if you're going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. So sin, our own personal sin, robs us of fellowship with God. Someone else's sin does not rob me of fellowship with God. My sin robs me of fellowship with God. So don't say, I'm not in fellowship with God because of so-and-so. That is not so. As John says, that's a lie, and you do not the truth. Someone else's sin does not affect your fellowship with God. It's our own sin that affects our fellowship with the Lord. Fourthly, consider our responsibility in fellowship with God. We have some things that we must do. We have some responsibilities. Again, verse 7, we must walk in the light. If we're going to have fellowship with God, you and I have the responsibility to walk in the light. Verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have, present tense, we have fellowship one with another. So we need to ascertain what does it mean to walk in the light. Well, it's not perfection. If that were the case, none of us would ever walk in the light. It's not perfection. But it is the acknowledgement. You remember over in Colossians, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. To walk in the light is the acknowledgement that we belong to a different realm. I no longer belong in the darkness. I belong in the light. So before we can walk in the light, we must acknowledge, this is the realm that I belong to. Light. We are responsible to always be aware that we belong to a different realm. We do not belong to this world. We belong to a different realm. We must realize that if we're going to have fellowship with God. Failure in this area is a tremendous threat to fellowship with God. There must be an acknowledgement that we belong in the light. But not only that, it goes further. There must, to walk in the light means that you maintain a separation from the darkness. It's absolutely necessary if you're going to have fellowship with Him. That you maintain separation from the darkness. That you maintain separation from the ways of the world. That you maintain separation from unregenerate men. Also, walking in the light is a personal awareness of God. It says there in verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. Implying that if you walk in the light, you can't help but see that God is there also. So, we must have an awareness. If we're going to have fellowship with God, we must have an awareness and a consciousness of God. You can't have fellowship with someone and not be aware of it, not be conscious of it. So there must be an awareness and consciousness of God. And when we walk in the light, that simply means that we are living in the awareness and consciousness of God. This is absolutely necessary if we're going to have fellowship with God. People that get up and they pay no mind to God, they go through their day, they pay no mind to God, and yet tell you that they have fellowship with God, that's a lie. They do not the truth. They not only lie, they live a lie. They may actually deceive themselves. They may actually believe that they're in fellowship with God. But if they have no awareness of God throughout their day, I assure you there's no fellowship with the Lord. So again, failure here. Failure to maintain an awareness and consciousness of God. And this world is very good at destroying an awareness and consciousness of God. That's why we have to maintain it constantly. Because what's at stake? Fellowship with God is at stake. That's what's at stake. So, if we fail in this awareness and consciousness of God, it's going to lead to a loss of fellowship with God. We are responsible. If we walk in darkness, we have no fellowship with God. If we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. We are responsible not to slide into the way of darkness. How do you do that? Stay in the light. Have fellowship with God. The way not to slide into the darkness is to have fellowship with God. You do not slide into darkness living in fellowship with God. You slide into darkness as a result of a breakup fellowship with God. So to walk in the light, as He is in the light, is to live under the impression and under the impact of God. But not only of God, remember where it all begins. God is light. To walk in the impression and impact of His holiness. It's living in the reality of who God is. That's what it means to walk in the light. And in order to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. Another one of our responsibilities is we must deal with sin. We all sin. But God in His grace, God in His mercy, has a means to deal with that so that fellowship can be maintained. We all sin, and when we do, we must do something regarding that sin. We do something regarding that sin. We read in verse 7 that walking in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And then notice what it says. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us. That is, as we're walking in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. How does that work? Walking in the light, our sin is made manifest to us. Light reveals. Walking in the light, in some aspects, can be very uncomfortable. Because walking in the light, our sin is made manifest. But that's a good thing. We read in John 3, verse 19, men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Because the light revealed their deeds. Therefore, they lived in darkness. So walking in the light, not only are sins made manifest, but the one who walks in the light has a tenderness of heart. The one who walks in the light has a conviction when sin is revealed by the light, which is God's holiness, by the way. That's our standard. When sin is revealed in that light, we're convicted. And there's contrition. And there's a confession. And there's a turning from sin. And that's where these words come into effect. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. So it is as we walk in the light that we obey verse 9. If we confess our sins, we do that walking in the light. Walking in the light, sin is made manifest to us. We respond appropriately. And then we have fellowship with God, or fellowship with God is maintained. So here we are, we're in fellowship with God, walking in the light. We sin. We sin. God doesn't stop right there and say, that's it, we're done. It's not how God works. Walking in the light, He reveals our sin. You see it. The child of God knows when they sin. They see that sin. And if they're going to continue to walk in the light and not slip into darkness, they must confess that sin. And when they do, He's faithful and just to forgive. And what's happened? Fellowship continues. Fellowship continues. But oh, how often, as we've seen in our text verses. The light reveals our sin. In verse 8, we say that we have no sin. That'll slide you right into darkness, and fellowship will be broken. There's a lot of ways, and that'd be a different message, but there's a lot of ways in which we say we have no sin. You blame someone else, that's what you're doing. We have no sin. You try to justify it, you try to minimize it, that's what you're doing. We have no sin. And what happens is you deceive yourself. That is, to deceive yourself means you actually believe it. You actually believe it. I mean, there's people walking around out of fellowship with God who actually believe the reason they're out of fellowship with God is because of brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. They actually believe that. And you're not going to tell them any different. They've deceived themselves. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned. So again, walking in the light, we do not ignore, we do not deny sin. We confess it. And when we confess it, fellowship is maintained. So again, the book of 1 John is an illustration of a call to live life in Christ. And what are the results of this life? Verse 4, that your joy may be full. There is an unspeakable joy in fellowship with the Lord. We see in chapter 2, verse 1, we've already seen this, there's victory over sin. How is it that we have victory over sin? It's by walking in the light and fellowship with Him. Because there our sin is revealed and we confess it. And that gives us victory. How does it give us victory? The blood of His Son cleanseth us. And when His blood cleanses us, fellowship is maintained. I'm glad I don't have to be perfect to have fellowship with God. God knows we're going to sin, but again, He's already provided a means whereby fellowship can be maintained. Another result of this, we see in 1 John 5, verse 13, there's assurance. The most assured people on earth are people who are walking in fellowship with God. You walk out of fellowship with God for a long period of time, you'll never convince me that, and you don't have to, but you'll never convince me that you are absolutely certain that you're saved. I don't believe it. Assurance comes with fellowship with God. That's why people go out of their way. They've been walking in darkness for 3 years, whatever. And they'll say, but I'm saved. And they will insist on that. They want you to, because they're trying to convince themselves. Because they don't have that assurance. Walking in fellowship gives assurance. And all assurance, what a blessing. What a blessing. And then we see it also increases our faith. But notice in closing, in 1 John 1 verse 3. This fellowship with God also gives us something else. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The sweetest fellowship between people is between two people, or however many, between people who are in fellowship with God. That's what our fellowship with one another ought to center around. Fellowship with God. We ought to seek the fellowship of those who are in fellowship with God. There's only one way you can have fellowship with those who walk in darkness. You've got to go over into the darkness. Or they've got to come over in the light. One of the two. But you can't have fellowship with them and they're in the darkness and you're in the light. Just like you can't have fellowship with God that way. So, we ought to seek the fellowship of those who are in fellowship with God. And where we seek fellowship speaks volumes. Where we seek fellowship tells what realm we are in. We ought not be overly concerned about getting those who walk in darkness to like us. That shouldn't be our concern. Our concern is that we maintain our walk in light and fellowship with God. The sweetest friendships are formed between two people who are in fellowship with God. This is where you find the greatest affection. This is where you find the greatest understanding. Fellowship with those who are in fellowship with God. This is where you find the greatest support as far as man is concerned. Comfort, encouragement, and help. So, first and foremost, we must have fellowship with God. And then, we're not the only one. If we're walking in fellowship with God, you're not the only one on earth that's doing that. There are others. And those are the people that you want to get close to. Those are the people who you want to fellowship with. Well, they've been a friend of mine for 60 years. That may be so. But there may be a break in fellowship. Because our fellowship needs to center around fellowship with Christ. And oh, what a sweet fellowship that is when we can have fellowship together. Because we fellowship with God. Fellowship is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and it's the way to live the Christian life. There's no other way to do it. This is how it's done. Stay in fellowship with God. Don't let anything get in the way of fellowship with the Lord. And when things do get in the way, you have a responsibility to confess it. And Christ is, and God has already provided a means where fellowship can be maintained. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us, verse 6.